Here's another big story we've been following all this week, actually since last week. Wouldn't you love to know what Sepp Blatter's financial exit package might be over at FIFA right now?
The challenges that FIFA is facing have not come to an end.
That's the king of the World Cup, Sepp Blatter, speaking through an interpreter. After 40 years with FIFA and 17 years as the head of the organization, a position he was just, in fact, re-elected to, FIFA President Sepp Blatter announced Tuesday that he was resigning. His announcement came mere hours before U.S. investigators declared their FIFA corruption probe had widened to include him. Joining me now is Matt Garahan, global media editor for the Financial Times. Matt, welcome.
Hi.
So what's the target now that Sepp Blatter is out of the way of this entire reform initiative and corruption probe of FIFA?
Well, the Department of Justice is exploring several lines of inquiry according to the indictments that they filed last week. We hear yesterday that the probe has widened to include Sepp Blatter himself. This is obviously enough to convince Blatter to resign only days after insisting that he had nothing to resign for, that he'd done nothing wrong. But the bigger issue here is reform of FIFA itself. I mean, he admitted yesterday that the organization needs profound reform, and it really does. I mean, this is an organization that's larger than the UN, has more members than the UN, and needs reform from top to bottom. It really is corrupt to the core. The Department of Justice called it a criminal enterprise in the indictments. And, you know, someone who's been looking at FIFA and writing about FIFA for many years, it's long overdue, and reform is very, very necessary.
So the shakeup has happened. The leadership is gone. It seems to me that almost is old news now. Really, yeah. The question of what's going to signal a change in FIFA is where the next World Cups are held.
Well, that's right. The Swiss, I think the Swiss prosecutors are looking into the votes that awarded the World Cups of 2018 and 2022 to Russia and Qatar. Both of those votes were shrouded in allegations of corruption, that money changed hands, that FIFA members were given bribes to influence their votes. But, you know, as I said before, the bigger issue here is the structure of FIFA itself, and reform isn't going to take place really until there's a new president in place, and that won't be for at least 6 months, because Blatter isn't really going to leave. He said he'll leave once there's an extraordinary election to replace him. But it needs an outside candidate, someone with gravitas and credibility, and it needs to acknowledge that it needs to be shaken up from top to bottom. Mm. I mean, you have an organization here that, you know, where a country the size of the Cayman Islands has one vote, the same number of votes as China has or Germany has, and it's ridiculous. And you end up with a system of patronage where the president can dole out favors in return for support, and it's completely unwieldy and, you know, open to corruption and open to, you know, criminal activity.
Well, let's predict the future here for a moment. It seems to me that Vladimir Putin has signaled that he'll invade Alaska before they change the World Cup in 2018.
Right.
As to 2022 in Qatar, are we going to be left with the largest indoor tennis court in the history of the world if that unbuilt facility is never used?
Possibly. And we're also going to have the deaths of hundreds and possibly thousands of migrant workers at FIFA's door. I mean, awarding the World Cup to Qatar, and they've gone ahead with horrendous working conditions. It's been well reported elsewhere that migrant workers have been exploited and abused in building these football stadiums. And, you know, really in a country that is completely unsuitable for hosting the World Cup, in a desert country with soaring summer temperatures, where a big football tournament, it is really impractical and completely unnecessary.
And that could be the change. Matt Garahan, global media editor for the Financial Times. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you very much.